Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Green Ideas Radio Show, and this is Green Ideas, as the man says, and we're coming to you for another fun Saturday morning where we're going to be talking about food and frolicking around and what have you. I'm having, of course, freaking problems again this morning with Blog Talk Radio. So at the present moment, I'm unable to bring on guests, my co-host, our food news girl, or anyone at the moment. They can probably hear me, but I cannot hit their button and bring them on. So here we go again with wonderful Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to fake it for a minute while we try to get everything back on order here. But I wanted to mention while I'm trying to figure this out, a couple of little news stories. If you folks remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we had on some folks that were on Kickstarter, and they were, one company was called Hot Bamboo, and they're the people who made the, the company's called Maya Bamboo with the product called Hot Bamboo. They were on our show, and they're promoting bamboo charcoal. They reached their goal. To all you people who are out there who may have helped for them to reach the goal, I'm sure they welcome your money and your support, and they reached their goal this, I think it was yesterday or this morning. Also, we had on Lost Apple Project, which was Shaxbury Cider. They also reached their goal through Kickstarter, and congratulations to both. So thank you for anybody who was out there supporting them, and I'm sure you'll be getting notification from them in emails, et cetera, about their project, so that's cool. Let's see here. I think things might be working here. Let me just press this button, and hopefully I might have my sidekick while this thing's thinking about it. Also wanted to mention, thank you. 2 weeks ago, we had on Chef Brett McKee from Insanely Good, and I wanted to thank get of goodies to Aaron and myself, and the product is fantastic. He's got all kinds of rubs. He's got cool products. I mean, you got to go to his website. If you didn't hear the show, Insanely Good with Chef Brett McKee, check it out. Go to his website and get some really neat products. We'll be posting some more photos and things on our Facebook page. Thank you, Brett, for sending that stuff to us. And I've used some of his rubs and fantastic product. Also, Drunken Apple Honey from Urban Delights. They joined us a couple weeks ago and received some of their Drunken Apple Honey. And I believe Aaron received some Drunken Berry Honey. I used mine for a marinade on a pork shoulder, and it turned out excellent. And Urban Delights appreciates you supporting us, and we're going to be talking more about it if I can ever get my co-host on here about your products and how well that went. Also, I wanted to mention our guest today, if we can get this thing working. Today we have Chef Diane DeMayo. She's been on our show before. She's moved to Mexico City, and she's got some new things that's going on with cookbooks. She's got a wine club. And also she has a new restaurant she's opening in Polano, Mexico City. So she'll be joining us here shortly if the system works. And then Jeremiah Tosco, he was on here about a month or so ago, and you guys may know him from HGTV. He's a creative director. He does, I guess you would say, he basically does decorating homes, redecorating homes, and he'll be joining with us later on today. And then lastly, but not least, we have Saber Ricci joining us. She's the chef to the stars and for the stars, and she's coming on this week to talk about, We're talking about Scorpios this week and how food and love and Scorpios all work together. And right now, let's press some buttons here and see what happens. Let's see. And Laurie, are you there?
Good morning, I'm here.
All right, this is Laurie, our food news Jersey style girl. At least I've got your phone working. I'm trying to get working on getting Aaron's. Is just sent in. Aaron, you're not there, are you? Nope. How are you, Laurie?
A little nervous right now. I feel bad. You're trying to get everybody on. We have great show lined up.
I know. We have a ton of people coming on. Of course, this is good old Blog Talk Radio. Last minute, everything falls apart. Aaron, I know you're out there listening and hear me. Call back in, and we'll see if I can reconnect. If something's wrong with your line, so give me a call back. He's hanging up and calling back. So, Laurie, do you have any food news? You know what? I hope you do, because the way it's going, you may need a lot of food news for today's show.
Oh, gosh. Uh-oh. It just went dead.
Okay.
Yikes.
Do you have any food news?
I do. You ready?
Well, fire away. Hold on. Let's see if I can get Aaron. Aaron called back in.
Yay!
And
what is up?
Oh, man, what are you doing, dude? This is unbelievable. Every week, literally 5 minutes before the show, everything went kerplunk. And I guess we can have a show if it's just the three of us.
Well, it's funny. I called in a few minutes early, and I was on. I was listening to the Blog Talk, little crazy chimey music. And the show started. And as soon as the show started, Blog Talk Radio came on and said, "Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye." And I mean, as soon as the show started, I was like, "Okay, great, awesome."
I don't know what the gig is. I think they wait until you're just about ready to go on the show, and that's when everything goes wrong. I think they test you to see how good you are.
They don't do that to everyone. It's just you, because they know your feelings about.
I have voice and opinions on their
forums?
Things that you post.
The forums.
Yeah, I've posted some things about their service, and they're probably picking on me now.
No,
it's
our little island. We live on this little island, and
no, I don't think that's it, because we have internet connection. Everything's working fine, and it's just
there are too many other people that have problems for it to just be where you're located.
Yeah, it is. There are a lot of people having problems. So anyway, I'm glad all three of us here. From this point forward, it may be only the three of us, but we'll see what happens. So, Laura, you're going to tell us a food news story, and then Aaron, when she finishes with the first food news story, you and I want to talk about a little bit about the products we see from Insanely Good and the Drunken Honey folks. But, Laura, give us a quick story.
Okay, it's a good one. And this is for all the beer lovers out there who are listening. I came across this really fun article. It says, "Perhaps the ultimate bar snack, but it could leave you just as hungover as the liquid refreshments they offer at your local pub. A U.S. firm has introduced a range of unique beer ice creams. And unlike your usual tub of cookie dough, vanilla, they're alcoholic. The ice cream is called..." I know. The ice cream, this is really amazing how they stumbled across it. Aaron, have you heard of this?
I know the perfect topping for it.
What?
You do?
Drunkenberry honey.
Honey. Drunken honey. Oh, that's good. I thought you were going to say beer nuts.
No, man. Drunkenberry. I'll get to that. You continue your story.
Okay.
And you know she'll continue her story till it's to the very end, so... And,
So yeah, we're going to get every word of the article, and then we're going to get who wrote it, the date that it was posted, any credits
no,
that go back to any
away.
Other article.
It says the ice cream is called Frozen Pints. It comes in 7 different flavors, and the strongest having an alcohol level of 3.2%, the same as the low point beer. It says the new range is the brainchild of Ari Fleischer from New York, who says the idea was born purely out of accident. He says, quote, we were having a party and a friend brought over an ice cream maker to make homemade ice cream. He says, but another friend spilled a beer nearby and he watched how it happened and thought, this is a great idea. It says, I'm really passionate about crafted beer. I love ice cream, so I picked it up as a hobby and started experimenting with different flavored combinations. We start with the beer, as it is all about finding the best and most flavorful crafted brews and then build a flavor around them. These are some of the varieties that they offer in stores around Atlanta, Georgia. Peach Lambie, Honey IPA. See, there you go with the honey.
Right.
Pumpkin Ale, Brown Ale, Cinnamon Espresso, Vanilla, and Malted Milk Chocolate.
Here's what I don't understand. How do they sell that? I mean, what do you, if a kid goes into the store to buy ice cream?
They actually have to proof it. Well, you know, can I finish?
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
It just takes
God
so long
God,
to
God
get
forbid
to
I
that
ask
point.
Questions.
I know we
were lying with the article.
It says here, excuse me, each tub costs $6.99, although you'd have to drink a lot of the ice cream to actually get drunk, yes. And it's perhaps the only frozen snack that you might need ID to buy. See?
Okay, well, thank you for answering my question.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Yeah, it's funny. The guy said that he spilled the drink, the beer and the ice cream. What it was, there were a bunch of drunk guys, and they were screwing around, and they just started pouring
and
beer in the ice cream.
And somebody poured ice cream in their beer. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. I don't want to hear any stupid-ass
like
lies.
Like a beer float, a beer float.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I didn't accidentally nothing. That was intentionally done to some genius drunk head decided to pour out beer in his ice cream.
Now, before we go to our
next one,
now, let me make sure, are you finished, Laurie? Is there any more periods, commas, exclamation points you need to add before we move on?
No, it's just that was it pretty much. It ended.
Okay, good.
Now,
much,
you know,
back,
well, you know,
to,
you know she just what? Said pretty much. That means there's more to the story.
Probably so. Anyway,
Laurie, what's the
rest
of the story that you haven't read?
Yeah, Laurie, is there more do you want to read?
No, I'm done. It was just a little bit about the flavor, but I'm okay.
All right.
I told you there was more. I knew there was more.
Aaron, let's talk about Insanely Good. So did you try out Chef McKee's product?
I actually wanted to eat the entire canister of the French toast sugar.
I did.
By itself.
Laurie, tell them everybody what you did.
I swear to God, it's so fun. I opened that one first, and I said, I smell everything. So I smelled it. I'm like, this smells so good. So I started dipping my finger in it.
Yes.
And I said, oh, my God, okay, this is brilliant. I swear, if I go down and show you right now, it's almost completely empty.
Wait, did you tell them what you did with the crackers? She took saltine crackers. Get this. She's taking the saltine crackers. And she's spreading the French toast rub on it. I mean, with butter and putting them in the microwave. So she's, like, making these little mini French toast crackers.
Yeah. I've thought about all kind of crazy stuff. I've thought about mashing up bananas and putting the French toast sugar in it and then putting that on crackers.
Ooh.
Anything.
Wow.
That'd be
good. Yeah.
Just anything. Just crazy. Just that's the only thing that I've gotten into. In just a little while, I'm making some. It's kind of a teriyaki stir-fry deal that I'm doing in a little while, but I'll be using some bacon olive oil to start that out.
Cool. I'm going to actually make a turkey. I'm grilling a turkey today, and I'm going to use one of the rubs that he's got on the turkey to see how that turns out. And everybody, check out his website. He was on our show a few weeks ago, great guy, and he's going to be coming on again sometime, in, I believe, in late November, early December. And got some very nice product. You can find him on Facebook. And before we go to our next, our first guest, which he's our mystery guest. Well, not really mystery. He's just a mystery all by himself. But also the drunken apple honey, drunken berry honey.
Yeah,
unbelievable from Urban Delight.
And before you forget, those websites are insanelygoodchefbrettmckee.com and urbandelight.us.
Correct.
And
right,
I used the pumpkin honey one on peanut butter, just to say that, because it was delicious.
But I did do this. I haven't been having a whole lot of sweets and stuff, but I actually, when I caught the drunken berry honey, I forced myself to eat ice cream. Because I just knew that drunken berry honey with, if it was except for the walnuts in, the whole thing would be great on vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
And I was totally right. It was fantastic.
Well, do you like peanut butter with honey? Because I liked it on toast.
I
think. Take peanut butter, put the honey, put that on top, and it's so good.
Yeah,
I do.
I
like
urbandelight.us, and you'll get you some of that honey because it's really good. And I you can tell I'm rushing you guys along because I got a lot to do today. We have the Czar Man, and this cracks me up. Can you believe what he's getting ready? He's actually where he's at, because this took a lot for Brian to do this. Brian is
I'm so excited. If he's really in Walmart and he's really doing
this, Walmart. He sent me photos of where he's at. Brian, Czar, Wine Czar, are you there?
I am here. What's up?
And where are you, Brian?
I'm actually, well, you know what? I had no problem texting you pictures from inside the Walmart, but when I dialed in the phone to listen to the first 10 minutes, I got all this... So I guess Walmart blocked me, so I'm actually standing outside the Walmart right now, but I did take my surveillance, and there's plenty to speak about. Obviously, you got my pictures, so
yes.
You saw some of it. But, yeah, I am here.
Well, for you to be in Walmart, by the way, that itself is a news story, because I know it was difficult for you to walk. He says to me, Aaron, he goes, how long do I have to... what my segment going to be? And I said, like 15 or 20 minutes. He goes, oh, my God, I don't think I can stay in Walmart that long.
Well, you know what? When I told my wife that I was going to Walmart this morning, she made me sign some papers swearing that I wouldn't buy anything.
Oh, now that's funny.
No, she didn't do that.
So, what
but anyway,
you
yeah,
in the
I'm
wine
here.
Section?
Well, you know what? They are almost close to having something that will replace the big kahuna for you.
Oh, good.
It's called Oak Leaf. And what's cool about it is that you turn the bottle around, and I look to see where it's from. Now, mind you, most of what they have at Walmart is dominated by California.
Good.
But it just says
America. Before you go too far, sir, be careful, because I really like Oak Leaf. Just letting you know.
I'm not throwing it under the bus. Don't worry, bro. I am not throwing it under the bus. But since you like Oak Leaf, you'll know that the bottles say American wine.
Ooh,
so
I
basically,
like that.
It's from parts unknown. So who
really?
Knows where the grapes are coming from? Yeah.
They can do
that?
I thought you had to tell where the grapes come from, no?
Not necessarily. You know, look, here in Virginia, we have some wineries that make wine that's not, you know, Virginian wine. It says Maine, Virginia, but it's not Virginian. It's not called Virginian wine because the grapes came from California or Oregon or Washington State or wherever. So you can't call it a proprietary wine from the state that it's from, unless it's made from those particular grapes.
Okay.
Grown in the state.
Did not know that.
So,
okay.
Obviously, this is, you know, a big mass-produced project that, you know, they're getting juice from wherever. I guess in this case, it's all coming from America, which is a good thing, actually.
Hold on. Wait a minute. We need to speak to someone who's actually tasted the Oak Leaf, and it sounds like we have our resident wine czar on Oak Leaf on the phone. How is it, Aaron?
It's actually, well, it depends on what you want, but the only thing that we've run through is is entertaining times, and it's really been through probably 47 bottles of Oakleaf wine whenever we have big parties or people coming through. It's not bad. I mean, you
it's
pair,
not bad. I had it too.
It's really not bad. I'm not saying that it's the greatest wine on the planet, but it's really not bad, and for the price, you cannot beat it.
Now, Aaron, did you buy it at a Walmart? I'm wondering whether it's a Walmart exclusive.
Absolutely.
Okay, then it is a Walmart exclusive because it was $2.97. I tried to make sure that you got the picture with the price on it so that you could see. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe we can negotiate with Walmart, since you're giving them so much free advertisement, to get it down to that $1.99 that the big kahuna costs.
I think we should. By the way, thank you for ruining my whole promo when you came on and said that your wife made you sign a waiver that you wouldn't buy anything at Walmart. You kind of screwed up the whole deal, but that's okay.
Screwed up what deal? That's me, not you.
Oh, that's true. Well, you know, they said in the fine print of the contract that it said you cannot have the wine czar. Are you going to be okay with that?
Yeah, it's okay. Look, you told me after you saw my picture without the beard that I didn't look like the wine czar anymore, so I guess I can go without being wine czar.
Why did you cut off your beard, by the way? Because you looked like a professor before. Now you look like, I won't say that on the air, but why did you cut your beard off?
Hey, if your significant other told you they really liked you without the beard, would you do it for them, or would you just be
a hard ass and not do it? No, thank you. No, sir. Not a chance. Thing hadn't gotten me.
well, you know how I feel about your beard.
Hold on. I'm a man. I wrestle bears. I cook on the grill. Beards. That's all it is.
Hey, I'm a man too, but you know what? I was without beard for so many years, and I was only with beard for a few years, so it didn't matter. I just took it off.
Well, my significant other was on the air here with it. Of course, Brian, if she asked me to cut my beard off, of course I would.
I told him to go. I love facial hair. I mean, I love the mustache, the goatee.
So, Grill, you're just saving yourself. Whereas Aaron's just going to take the hard line and say, oh, man, I'm going to just do what I'm doing.
I guess so. I guess.
That is correct. Now, the other part of that is we are in the trust tree right now. You can be honest with Lori while we're on the air.
Okay.
Just letting you know. Yeah, this is the trust tree here.
But see, she likes the beard, so we both win. It's a win-win situation for us.
It is a win-win, because I said, please grow a beard. I would love it. I mean, he could grow like a Duck Dynasty or a ZZ Top beard, and I would love him, so it doesn't matter.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I could still be a professor without the beard.
Yeah, I guess you can. So, yeah. Professor Winesar, what else did you find out there at the Walmart? You got Oakley.
Well, you know, it's been so long. It's been so long since, $2.97 for the oak leaf. But it's been so long since I actually perused the grocery stores, being that I actually sell wine, that I've totally lost track of all of these funny names and labels. I think I sent you a picture of one that said carnivore, and I thought that was perfect for you.
I need that.
It's way past your price point, even at Walmart. It was like 10 and change. So.
Oh,
I got it last night.
You did?
I got it last night. Yes, I did.
You had carnivore last night?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Dan, my neighbor.
Where did you get? Well, obviously you didn't get it at Walmart.
I don't know where we got it from, but it's so funny. Once you said it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it was the label.
But then there's one that's really cool. It's called Totally Naked. And it's like they make a lot of different varietals.
I got that last night, and it wasn't wine. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, this is a family show. Remember that?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, what's crazy is I actually had Totally Naked and Purple Cowboy at the same time.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I was really impressed. Yeah. I was actually impressed that they had as much of a selection as they did. You know, this Walmart is across the road from a Trader Joe's and a Whole Foods, and you've got other grocery stores. So I'm surprised that they managed to keep up with the Joneses, as it were, to have
a
decent selection.
So if I hear you right,
but
you're actually promoting, if I hear this right, the wine czar is saying that you can get a very good selection of wine from Walmart.
Yeah, and you know, hey, look, hey, you know me. I don't shop here, but I'm not going to stop anybody else from shopping here, and I'm not going to tell anybody where they should get their wine. You know, everybody's got to do what's right for them. That's the bottom line. You know, that's my philosophy, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, there you go. Okay, and you also wanted to, we're going to change tasks here. You said you also wanted to talk about what the holiday is coming up. Some wine pairings that you wanted to discuss, and I don't want to forget that part before we let you go. So you want to talk about wine pairings for the holidays?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I just didn't know when you're going to have me on next. I never know. You know, sometimes you
well,
call
you
me
not
up
ever
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You may never come back on. No, you may not ever come on. If you get that Walmart deal and they say in the fine print, you can't be on the show that night. So yeah, you better go ahead and get it in now.
So, you know, it's like when you call me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell me, hey, my guests canceled on me. Can you fill in? I mean, but I never know when I'm scheduled. So I thought I would give a little bit of holiday, a little holiday recommendations. You know, for Christmas and Thanksgiving, a lot of people, you know, get into their trends. Thanksgiving, of course, you see a lot of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir being consumed. And I always used to make it my business when I was in retail to always find the alternative to that. You know, I have to be different. And I think that both Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, depending if you do a Christmas ham, you can do a lot of the same similar wines for both turkey and ham. Now, of course, roast or, you know, lamb or pork or stuff like, you know, other types of pork, I would want to do something different. But basically what I look at for Thanksgiving is a lush white, you know, something that's got some nice fruit, some nice flavor, something that's got good acidity to it. I tend to lean toward blends that have some of the Rhone varietals in them, like Viognier and Marsan and Roussan, because they're, you know, they're grapes that have what we call an oiliness to them, a viscosity, and they tend to be very lush, and I think that they work really well with turkey. For reds, I don't want something too heavy with turkey or ham. I like a medium-bodied blend. Again, I kind of tend to go toward those Rhone grapes or Grenache or like Grenache from Spain. And, of course, Pinot, but also, you know, Beaujolais Nouveau is the big thing for Thanksgiving.
I don't go for that, but I know you're right. It does, yeah, the Beaujolais, everybody seems to buy
that
at the
holiday. Beaujolais Nouveau comes out in the third week of November. It's like the first wine of the new harvest. And it's made from the Gamay grape. Now, I actually don't like Beaujolais Nouveaux. I think they all kind of have this bubblegum, grape bubblegum kind of flavor to them. But real cru Beaujolais from that region in France made from the Gamay grape are just delicious wines. And if you go to your wine merchant and you ask them if they have a cru Beaujolais, that's the kind of wine you want to try. I think they're great with ham. I think they're great with turkey. Now, people who like to fry their birds, I would like something a little bit fuller, a little bit spicy, like a Shiraz from Australia. It'd be great with a fried turkey.
Hell, it would.
Now, things like that. But again, you
do
know,
you, really, do you, guys
you
real,
know
do you
me.
Really
it's all about what
this.
You.
Wait a minute, Brian. Do you really do? You guys really do this? I mean, you actually think about what wine to drink with your food? Because I don't.
Well, you know,
nice,
in my business, I get asked the question all the time, so I have to think about it.
Well, my question is this: we're having roast beef tonight. What's in the cupboard?
What's in the cupboard for you?
As far as wine goes, Mari, when have we gone to the wine store to pick out wine to go with our food? Never, right?
No, I just go to the wine store and I buy the same stuff we always like. It doesn't matter. I don't make sense. I actually drink my red. If I have fish, I'm drinking my Shiraz or my Zin or my Merlot. It's just what I drink.
Everybody should drink what they like. You know, if you ask me to do wine pairings, you ask me to do wine pairings, I'm going to do wine pairings for you. I'm going to tell you what I like, you know, what things I think go well with certain foods. But, you know, I'm not going to stop anybody from drinking whatever they like to drink. It's, you know, it's more about your pleasure, not mine.
Aaron's a purple cowboy no matter what he's eating, right?
No, actually, that's not true. I only had purple cowboy one time, and that was with Totally Naked. But I'm typically a Pinot Grigio with anything is where I'm at.
Oh, really?
That's cool. And you know what? Pinot Grigio is a good white grape to go with anything because it's got good acidity and it's a good palate cleanser.
That's the most important thing
for me.
Yep, and that's my go-to for just about with any meal. So.
Isn't that something?
We are out of time. This has been just an amazing conversation, for me anyway. So I guess, Brian, if Walmart says it's okay, we'll have you back on sometime maybe later this month or early December. And where do you want to go next?
Well,
you want to go to Denny's? You want to go to Denny's next? Because Denny's now serving alcohol.
Yeah, but they don't have a – no, I would rather go to grocery stores where I can actually look at a selection. And maybe the other ones will actually let me use my phone inside the building. I'll have to go back in and dial a phone number to see if they'll allow me in again.
Well, thank you for going to Walmart, because I know it was a tough deal for you to do that today. We appreciate your input on what's going on at Walmart. And I think what the wines are said, he's not going to tell you not to shop at Walmart. They have a great selection there, and drink what you like, and whatever that fancy word was for the turkey, for Thanksgiving, and ham,
Beaujolais.
Get some of that wine. What was it called again?
Beaujolais.
Get you some Beaujolais, and enjoy your holiday. And I got to go to the next guest. So, Brian, thank you for calling in, and we'll be looking forward to your Zarna
sometime
later this month.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be bringing on Chef Diane DeMaio, and we'll be talking about what's going on with her, and she's a busy lady with all kinds of things, with cookbooks and restaurants and wine clubs, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody hang tight. We will be right back. We're going to play a little bit of Redneck Incorporated, get you some of that. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
One today in his cheap sunglasses are tight. Ain't got a dollar in my pocket, I must have robbed it last night. But there's a warm breeze blowing, I can't remember her name. And these mismatched flip-flops don't feel the same. Some of those party nights, neon lights, the last round and then one more. Hey,
back. That was Redneck Incorporated. Get you some of that. I get me some of that fancy wine that Wine Czar was talking about. You know, I've come to the conclusion, Laurie, if I can't pronounce it, I don't buy it. So that's why I stick with Merlot. And actually, Merlot is kind of a weird word anyway. It should be Merlot, but that's a
Merlot.
Anyway,
yeah,
it's Merlot the way it's spelled. Hey, Aaron.
Yeah,
Aaron.
Yes.
I thought of you Thursday night. I just remembered something. I was at
okay.
a place at a deli. Guess what I had for dinner? A turkey wrap, and I kid you not, this is what's on the menu. Turkey wrap with arugula and beet. It was the best.
No way.
I swear
that is not
you.
On them. That was not naturally
was,
on their menu.
I swear to you, it was their specialty of the house: turkey wrap with arugula and beets. I could not believe it. I should have taken a picture of it, but I saw it. I thought I got to have it. And it was the best turkey wrap I've ever had. And I thought about you. So, in fact, I probably should get a. I'm gonna get a copy of that and put it posted
were
on
they pickled
beets? Facebook. Yeah, pickled
beets.
Pickled
beets.
Yep. Yep.
I mean. I could have almost accepted it if they were like grilled beets or something, but pickled
yep,
beets
pickled
and arugula
yep. Yep.
with
exactly.
smoked turkey.
Yep. Anyway, I thought it was
there
weird because we talk about arugula and we talk about beets all the time, and there it was, a turkey wrap with our two special ingredients. So anyway, all right, we're going to move along here to our next guest, and I mentioned it before we went to break that Chef Diane DeMaio was on our show. I forget when it was. It's a while back, but she's a busy lady, and she's got a whole lot going on, and she's moved to Mexico City, and if the system is working, I think it is. I should have Chef DeMaio on here with us. Are you there, Diane?
I am. I'm here.
Good. Where are you? Is it good morning for you over there?
It is beautiful in Mexico City. I mean, whenever I say Mexico City, people always tend to think like beach and sunny and warm, and it kind of is, but there's no beach nearby whatsoever. So, but yet it's like being in San Francisco and France at the same time, but beautiful nonetheless.
Well, cool. So you're a busy lady. I was just reading some of the things that you mentioned that you're going to be talking about. I don't know where to even start, but you've got a cookbook that you're in, you've got wine clubs, you've got your new restaurant. So what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about the cookbook first?
Yeah, I think so, because it's all going to, you know, you're on the subject of wine today, and it's all going to kind of, I think, go towards everything anyways. But the cookbook, I'm actually sitting on the cookbook right now. Hold on. I'm like, what the hell is so hard under my butt? It's the cookbook. Okay, there you go. this book, I think one of the things that first I want to say is that people don't understand that Mexico produces some of the best wines that I've had in the world thus far. And people tend to think that Mexico is full of tequila or beer or mezcal, and that's really pretty much the concentration. But the
right.
wine, I have to say, because it's usually the majority is done in Guadalupe, and the mineral content in the sand gives the wine such great, great flavor. But anyway, this book has pulled together names like Rick Bayless, myself, Jose Andreas, and we've all contributed recipes that would pair with a lot of the Mexican wines, and the proceeds go to a foundation that deal with the children here in Mexico, which I think is a brilliant thing.
Cool. What's the cookbook called?
It's Mexico, the Mis Sabores. That was my butchered, bastardized Spanish, by the way. Okay, one more time. Mexico, de Mis Sabores, and it basically is like the perfect couple of wine pairing with Mexican cuisine.
Oh, cool. Now, where can people find the cookbook?
Right now, it is just in the midst of being produced. So in the next month, you'll be able to get the English version or the Mexican version, and it will be up on my website as well. And here we go, segue right into the wine club. You know, if you want to learn about Mexican wines, the book comes with the club, you know, with membership, et cetera.
Oh, cool. Well, let's talk about the wine club. So you started this wine club. Now, is it strictly about Mexico wines, or is it other wines too?
No, it's all Mexican wines. And the wine club that I've started, because my partners for the restaurant and the group that pulled me in for this cookbook, they're vino from Mexico, and they also produce their own wines where they get the grapes in from Guadalupe. So they're the ones who said, okay, Diane, we want you to be the ambassador and really be the spokesperson for Mexican wines. And start these wine clubs, and there's two, one lower end and one higher end, where people can actually get a certain amount shipped to them from Mexico, and it'll be just all Mexican wines. But there are a couple that you can get in, like, the States now. I think some Costco carry it, if I'm not mistaken, but Chicbal Baja, which is like a Tempranillo and Grenache, is one of the more popular wines that you can find that is from Mexico in the States now.
Okay. Now, your wine club, is you have a website for that?
It's actually launching in 2 weeks. Everything is, like, right here. We're, like, diving off the jumping board now with it. Yeah.
So right now we're diving off the diving board, but there's no water in the pool yet.
Well, there is. I mean, it's just a matter of if people were like, oh, my God, we want to be part of the wine club now, then tomorrow I would have to, like, shove a rocket up my ass and make sure it happens kind of thing. So.
And actually, people can find out more about all this on your Facebook page, because I know you've been talking about some of these things on your Facebook page, and that's where you can find out more information. Do you actually have a website?
DianeDeMayo.com, and also, you know, the Twitter feed is Chef Diane DeMayo for Twitter, which a lot of this information is being broadcasted out. Now, with my restaurant that I'm opening up here, my partners, again, are the Vino from Mexico, and I am bringing in a New York-style deli that will be doing everything in-house, from the challah to the matzah to the rugla. I'm not even Jewish. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. The water bagels, pastrami, corned beef, and we're going to pair it with Mexican wines. And in the front of the restaurant, we're going to have a kind of like a boutique store, if you will, that's kind of like a cross between Dean and DeLuca meets like a farmer's market, where everything that we make in-house, including the salt, olive oils, and you can buy wines and like huge pounds of meat, good heart attack food. And we're opening on December 17th, the store to start with, which is kind of crazy.
And that's in Polanco, right?
Polanco,
I'm sorry. I wrote down Polanco.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Now, where exactly in Mexico is that?
Polanco in Mexico City, in the district federal, or the federal district. It's Polanco itself is unfortunately or fortunately, it's like being in Soho in New York City. It's like one of the higher-end places where you won't even think that you're in Mexico. Everybody literally looks, they have blonde hair and blue eyes here. Not everybody, but the majority. So I look more Mexican than a lot of people here, which is kind of funny.
You're a little bit busy. I mean, how are you keeping track of all these things? I hope you have a lot of assistants.
I'm not. I'm actually pretty stressed out.
When you sit there and listen to things, like, what do you, is there anything else you'd like to do? Do you sleep at night, or do you just work 24/7?
No, actually, I've learned through all the restaurants that I've consulted and worked at in the States, I've learned it's a fine line between not giving a shit and the day will still continue on tomorrow if everything doesn't get done, which it's a very fine balance to have.
Wow. Well, if people want to find out more about all your projects, they can find it at DianeDeMayo.com, or they can find you on Facebook and find out more about the upcoming, I'm not even going to try to say the name again of the cookbook, because I'll screw it up worse than you did, but you can find out more about the cookbook, and you said that all the proceeds from the cookbook are going to be helping a foundation for children, Mexican children. And everybody check out her website and find out more details about that. And anything else, any other projects you're working on you want to share with us, or is that enough?
I think that's enough. I think as much as there are many other things going on, I think that's for another time that I'm on the show. I think, I can definitely blabber about this 2 months from now.
Well, good
can
luck
I ask
with
a question?
All. Yeah, go
sure,
ahead.
Sure. I have a quick question. Where do your price ranges start on the wines? Is there like does it start at a certain price and then go from there? Are they on the expensive side or you know, in between?
Well, for the actual wine club, there's a like a lower end where you pay like I don't know 100 or 30 however much money dollars a month or a year, and you get a shipment not every month because it can't happen that way because we're in Mexico, but like every mm-hmm. few months you get a shipment of wine. But the wines in general that you can find that are from Mexico that are in the States will start in and around, I'd say, maybe $15 to $18 a bottle.
Okay.
Which isn't bad, and I really, really just I recommend for people to go out, and if they can find it, do some research. If they need help, send me a message on the website, because I think this is it's definitely a territory that people really need to explore, and they'll be very surprised.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go and look for that. I'm very curious. I don't think I've ever had Mexican wine. I mean, I've been to so many wine tastings, but I don't think I've ever had a Mexican wine. I'm curious.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And now, like I said, the Chikbal, which is spelled X-I-K-B-A-L, Baja, and Chikbal literally translates to, and it's a Yucatan word, to like transporting you, meaning so this wine is supposed to transport you back in time to a vineyard in a different country when you taste it. And I highly recommend some of the stuff. Like, and some of the more familiar names to go with is Casa Madero, Montagnac. These are well-known 500-year-old vineyards that the monks had protected when the Spaniards came in to destroy them. So, you know, there's a lot of history and culture behind this. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well,
Do I have to pay for this in pesos or dollars?
Well, we all wish mm-hmm. we could pay for it in pesos because that would just be super cheap. But no, in dollars. And if you guys are closer to New York, I would send you a bottle because I'll have some being shipped to me out in New York very soon as well when I go back.
Well, it sounds good, and it sounds like you're busy, and keep us posted as things develop, and keep me alert so we can let everybody know about your wine club. We'll post it on our Facebook page once you get that all signed up and ready to go, and keep us posted and let us know, and you're always welcome back.
Absolutely. It was so nice speaking to you.
Nice speaking to you, and have a nice day there in Mexico.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
All right, talk to you later. All right, everybody, check out her website. Go to her website or go to her Facebook page to find out more details about all of her projects. And let's see here. Buttons aren't working. Muting's not working. And here we go. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. By the way, Aaron, you still there with me?
Yes, I am.
I remember we had Louie Bello scheduled a couple weeks ago, and
yeah.
He didn't show up. Well, Louie, if you're listening, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. He had the wrong time. I'm going to start sitting a picture of a Mickey Mouse clock when people I line people up for the show to let them know exactly what time they're supposed to call in, because there seems to be all kinds of confusion between East Coast, West Coast, and then of course you throw in daylight savings time and all those other things into it, so it gets to be complicated. So anyway, I talked to Louie. Louie is going to be joining us, and you liked his music, right?
I thought his music was awesome.
He's coming on. He's going to be coming on in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to go ahead and play his song. It's called Take the Money, which is a pretty cool song. We're going to come back after this break, and we'll be talking with Jeremiah Tosco and find out what's going on in Atlanta, Georgia, with his new project. I think he's filming a new TV show. I want to talk about some new things going on with him. So everybody, hang tight. We'll be right back if this thing will let me get out of here.
So much in their eyes. Yeah. You work so hard, trying to please everyone else, but deep inside, you know it's your time. Whatever you want, I got it. I'll take you up to Mars and back. Or tell them all it's your birthday. And then I'll make them all stand back. So you can shine. Girl, it's all about you. Just take the money, keep on running. You know tonight you're sitting on top of the world. Sitting on top of the world. than anybody, babe. I got you, yeah. Whatever you want, I got it. I'll take you up to Mars and back. We'll fill them all, it's your birthday. And then I'll make them all stand back so you can shine.
Just take the money, keep on running.
It's all about you, girl.
Just take the money, keep on running.
Girl, it's all about you.
Just take the money, keep on running.
Tonight you're sitting on top of the world. Go home, home. I could spend it all on you till it's gone, gone. I love it when you smile. Yeah. Play it, Wayne.
Hey, hey, come on. Hey, yeah. Just take the money, keep on running.
Girl, it's all about you.
Just take the money, keep on running. Tonight you're sitting on top of the world.
Take the money, and he'll be joining us in a few weeks. And we are back here with Green Ideas Radio, and everything will work here again. We're having all kinds of technical problems again this morning. Sorry, folks, but let me see if I can get my co-host back here. Aaron, you back with me?
Yes, sir.
And Laurie, you there?
I'm here.
And I'm telling you, his music is like an awesome mix of Prince and George Clinton. It's awesome.
Where did you get George Clooney?
I didn't say Clooney. I said George Clinton.
I think you said George Clooney. I'm like, where the heck did that come from?
Oh, George Clinton.
yeah, he's good. I like his music. Some of the other things we'll be playing in a couple of weeks is he's got his combination. He's kind of like a crooner and a rapper. He's got some really interesting music. So looking forward to having an interview with him. If we can get our time straightened out, he'll be joining us. And now, speaking of guests, we'll be bringing on our next guest here. And you guys, he was on, a couple months ago. And he's an HGTV star. And you guys all know him. Jeremiah Tosco. Good morning, Jeremiah. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello, hello. Grillion, I was wondering, should I address you as Mr. Grillion or Sir Grillion?
Please do not give him a surname. He gets none of that. He does not warrant that much respect.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa. Yeah, you can call me Sir or Mr.
I like the sir.
Whatever you like.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Dear Lord.
I don't call you Sir Grillion.
I kind of like Sir Grillion.
I like Sir Grillion because, you know, it kind of sounds – I kind of look like the Knights of the Round Table with the beard and the mustache and the long
hair.
Well,
we were talking
about Sir Grillion.
You were talking about facial hair, and I was thinking, you know, I think I need something a little more royal or regal for Mr. Grillion.
Jeremiah, do you know what I'm going to have to deal with for the next week on Facebook from this clown that you called him Sir Grillion? It's going to be a miserable week of Facebook with him.
I love that. I kind of like a swashbuckler. I love this idea. Hey, before we get too far along with your new project, Laurie has to tell you something very, very important. It's involving mayonnaise.
Okay.
Remember last time you were on?
Well,
no, you told him already.
I remember.
Yes, but I was going to say that he ever get the chance to try what I was telling him about the mayo and the stains on the furniture.
Yeah, you know what? Funny enough, I actually did. Now, I didn't get to do it on a show, but I did get to do it on the show that's inside my house every night. So my kids are – I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and, of course, they spill all the time. So there was the classic, you know, watermark condensation stain on the kitchen table. And I was like, oh, awesome. I can throw some mayonnaise on this and try this out, right? I literally remembered to go do this. So I run to the kitchen. I grab what mayonnaise we had, which was probably like a tiny, tiny bit. I come running in, and my kid had slathered peanut butter all over the table.
Oh, no.
So my mayonnaise plot was foiled because he took it over. So that was my attempt. I'm still looking for another opportunity. But, yeah, I'm waiting to try it out.
It does work because Laurie proved that that day she had left the ring on the table and she put the mayonnaise on it. And believe it or not, that the actual ring disappeared. I couldn't believe it. I thought she was full of crap when she was making a sandwich in the room and putting mayonnaise on the table. But it does work.
Yeah, you'll leave it on for quite a while, depending on the stain. You have to leave it on for quite a while.
I was going to say, like, does it take the stain and the ring out because it puts a bigger blob of a stain there? You know, so it's like, hey, the ring's gone, but it now looks like Africa is on my table.
Well, that's the part we forgot to tell you, yeah. Then you have a big blob of mayonnaise stain on your table, but it took the ring away.
So you're telling me I have to refinish the whole table with mayonnaise and we're good.
But that's like a great segue because that's kind of what you do anyway, right?
Yeah, it is. So I'm telling you, mayonnaise is part of my my inventory all the time now.
So what are you doing in Atlanta, Georgia? You're working on a new project and you're into redecorating and design and homes and et cetera, et cetera. So what's going on in Atlanta, Georgia?
Sure. So in Atlanta, I was just there last week doing a shoot for HGTV.com. This was a continuation from the show from this summer.
Okay.
And so I was there with Ann Rue, who was the fan favorite for HGTV star, and I was the runner-up for that. But Network wanted me to come in and co-host with her, so we did a show. It was really great. We were redoing five rooms inside of a house and giving each room an update for less than $500.
Wow.
Hey, hold a second, Jeroboam. We're getting some feedback. Anybody on speakerphone? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're getting feedback. Okay. Sorry, Jeroboam. We're having these fun technical difficulties here. But so what is the new show? When is this new show going to be aired?
Yeah, the new show is called Room Refresh, and it's in post-production right now. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to come out, but I think it will be a little later this year, probably early part of December.
Okay, and they can find that on HGTV.com?
Yeah, it's an exclusive web series. It's just a webisode series, and it will be on HGTV.com. So if you peruse that site every now and then, every week, I'm sure you'll see the upcoming announcement. And, of course, I'll pass it to I'll pass it to the people over at Sir Grillion's Network, and we'll get you the info when it.
I really love that.
Yeah,
I like
so
it too.
So, Aaron, from now on, it's Sir Grillion to you. You got it?
Oh, no.
I refuse. I will not ever call you Sir Grillion. I might call you Sir Grillion if. Never mind. Let me just stop right now.
I'm
going to
call you Sir Grillion.
Yeah, so
I like it.
Sir
well,
Grady.
I'll call you that whenever I'm on the show. Oh, and by the way, I'm feeling a little like I need to take a nap because DeMayo, she's got so much going on. I was like, man, I'm stressed out.
Can you believe it? I mean, I know I don't have to keep track of it all. It's just like one project after another.
It's amazing, and I was glad she was on today. I wanted to hear from her because I remember watching her with my wife. We watched The Taste. We watched her. We were rooting for her. So it was really cool to hear that she's doing great and, of course, staying busy as always.
Yes, she sounds like she's a busy lady. So you got any more projects going on that? You taped this deal going on with the HGTV. What's next on your agenda? Anything you can let out, cat out of the bag here on the show?
Sure. Mainly just in my design life. I'm working on a big kitchen remodel, which is really awesome. We're totally house is about 30 years old, so they've got, like, you know, the old white subway tile, which can look really great sometimes, but in this house it looks horrible, and old tile floors. I mean, we're stripping this whole kitchen out, and we're blowing it out and putting a brand-new kitchen in, making it more functional. You know, definitely getting the kitchen triangle going, a little more conducive to actually working in the kitchen. So that's great. That's like a personal project that's going on right now.
Cool.
And then in the future with HGTV, I can't say too much because I'm not sure what we're working on yet. I'm just waiting for new details on new shows. But this webisode series, it could be something that takes off and does well. So it's like with anything with TV, you got to wait and see how it's responded to and kind of, you know, what followers and viewers are thinking about it. So.
Well, now, if people, too, I don't even know. Do you have a website? Do you have a Jeremiah Tosco website?
Yeah, jeremiah.com.
Okay. You can find more information about Jeremiah and his projects and the HGTV.
How awesome is that?
Show, et cetera.
Your name is unique in that you're able to get jeremiah.com.
The first name. Yeah.
Because nobody else is buying.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. Can you imagine who owns aaron.com?
I don't know. You should look into that though.
Yeah, and of course, Laurie.com. Laurie, I'm sure you can get
that
one.
I can't spell it because I've never seen it spelled. My mom spells it differently, you know, with the Y. I've never seen Laurie spelled with a Y before, except
I bet if you put a sir before the Aaron, that would be available.
Oh, there you go.
Sir Aaron.
It is. Yeah.
SirAaron.com. There you go.
I can address you as sir as well.
No, I don't need the sir. I really don't. I don't qualify.
She's like, no.
I'm sure brilliant sounds much more dignified.
Well, you know, we are kind of like the Three Musketeers, you think about it. So, you know, I can see Sir Brilliant, Sir Aaron, Sir. Well, you wouldn't be Sir Laurie. You'd be Matt. What are you, Madam Laurie?
No, I don't want the man. No, I'm not the madam and queen. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't work for everything. But with Brilliant, I think it works.
Well, I love it. From now on, this is the Sir Grillion Radio Show. I love it. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us.
And we are
going
to be Master Jeremiah.
I like that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremiah, I'm going to have to run because we got your good friend. I think you know our next guest, don't you?
I haven't had the pleasure, actually.
She is a pleasure. She's joining us. She comes on every month and talks about the stars and what kind of food you're supposed to eat. And today she's going to be talking about Scorpios. So she's always on our show.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us. And you're always welcome anytime. Keep us posted on any new projects that come about. And we'll post them on our Facebook page and let everybody know. And I guess we're done with you.
I guess that's it. Get out of here. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate coming back.
Sir Grillion has used you enough, so on with you.
Off with his head.
Somewhere numbered.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go cook some breakfast for my kids. I do the cooking on weekends, so it's omelets and waffles time.
All right. Well, take care and enjoy your breakfast.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Later. All right, guys. I'm going to take another Sir Grillion break here and play a little bit of Oakley Snow. I love that.
This is not going to end anytime soon, is it? This is not going to end anytime soon.
Speaking of blowing smoke up people's butts, I'm going to play the song called 20 Pounds of Smoke, and we'll be right back in a couple minutes.
Then the work was slow, 'cause all the factories closed when they moved to Mexico, with a young wife and a baby due any day. I was running out of money, but I wouldn't run away. So I headed down the fence rows and the mountainside, off on some old back road. I grew a little weed and I thought that I had it sold, when I headed out to Music Town with 20 pounds. good folks throw away, watching as they turn away from my armored suit, and I watch them freely drive away, just like I used to do. Now it's been 2 years tomorrow since I've seen my wife, and the sun that she gave me, I've only seen twice.
Moonshine, he would definitely be related.
Of course, there are a lot of Smiths out there, like Captain John Smith, and from there was like what is it, like 5 million Smith families?
Yeah, it's actually just the ones that I know that I'm related to, there's at least 1,000.
They all
live within 2 miles of me.
By the way, I forgot to mention, you are now joining the Sir Grillion Radio Show, and welcome back, and we are going to our next guest. The one, the only, Sabre Ricci, the chef to the stars and for the stars. And I pushed this button. I hope her star is working. Yep, she's on. Good morning, Sabre Ricci. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
And by the way, you need to call me Sir Grillion from now on.
You don't
I need to call
Sabre,
you
don't
what?
Sir
don't listen to him. Don't do it.
Welcome to the show, and I guess this morning you are going to be talking about Scorpios, which is Laurie's favorite subject.
You guessed it, and I'm so excited because you know that happens to be my favorite sign of the zodiac, something I know quite a bit about. Because like Laurie, I too am a Scorpio.
There you go. When is your birthday?
When is mine? I'm November 22nd. I'm right on the cusp of Scorpio and Sagittarius, but very Scorpio. I have 5 planets in Scorpio in the first house. So, yep, about as Scorpio as it gets. And you know what Scorpio means? That means romantic foods to get you in the mood.
There you go. Laurie, listen up.
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you're on.
Yes, I think
I sometimes I do mute you, but you're actually on. That's, yes, you can talk. You, can
you
talk
muted
to
me.
Reason.
I heard
Let's
it. It said muted. Okay.
Hello,
Sabra.
Good morning. Where you guys are on the East Coast? I'm in Hawaii this morning.
Wow.
So it's very early here.
So let me put the Mickey Mouse clock out. So it's 12:41 here. That makes it 9:41 on the West Coast. So you're like 2 hours. So it's 7:41.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Not as bad though with the time change. So it's great. But Yeah, I have some fun things. I thought we'd mix it up, not only, you know, the Scorpio, but also with some recipes that are, gearing up for the holidays. So I chose four different things, a cocktail, to get everyone in the mood, sort of an aperitif, an Italian sparkling wine cocktail. So, So anyway, just a brief little, for those of you who don't know about Scorpios, Scorpios are ruled, by the eighth sign of the zodiac, and their ruler are the reproductive organs, which explains a lot. They tend to be smoldering, sensuous, and have quite the reputation by some as being, oh, I shouldn't have said I was a Scorpio because now that sounds really arrogant, but but they're known for being the sexiest sign of the zodiac, men
there
and women
go.
Alike. So, so it's only natural that aphrodisiacs are on the top of the list for Scorpios who need to thrive, not only in the bedroom, but also in every area of their life, because passion is huge for Scorpios. If they're not passionate about something, it's just not going to happen. They need to, passion equates to interest with these natives. So that's what we're going to talk about. Foods that create some foods that get Scorpios excited. And
in other words,
anyway,
the way the Brilliant says it is the foods that make Scorpions horny. Is that the way what you're trying to say?
You said that. I didn't. But you can take it any way you want. Anyway, yes, I guess you could put it that way.
Okay. So this cocktail, this Italian cocktail?
Yes, and pomegranate are known as an aphrodisiac. They go back way, in history, back to the Greeks. The little crimson orbs are said to be a symbol of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. And as such, a potent aphrodisiac, and that's a term that was derived from the seductive goddess. And Aphrodite is also the goddess of sensuality, beauty, and lust. So, and then the seeds also represented fertility. So, anyway, this is a pomegranate Osti sparkling wine cocktail, and it's really easy to make. You can you can get the palm version or, an organic version at any of your local markets. And it's really easy to put together and then very festive. Just 1 ounce of pomegranate juice just put that in your champagne flute and then fill it up with the Osti sparkling wine and sprinkle a few pomegranate seeds on top.
And
there
it?
You go.
So
that's it.
Kind of like,
pretty
is that
simple.
Like, kind of like, I guess another name for that would be the Osti Spumante.
Yeah, well, there's Osti Spumante or Osti Spumante.
No,
there's quite a variety of Osti.
Spumante. Never mind.
Yeah. It's a sweeter sparkling wine.
Aaron,
so,
hold on a second, hold on. Aaron, did you get that joke?
I totally got that joke. I'm not responding to that joke. Because it went right over Saber's head, and I know Lori didn't.
It went over my head.
So
I don't know.
I'm not saying
that.
So I already knew that nobody got it. But, ladies.
I never know what he's talking about. Everything goes over my head. When he starts laughing, I don't know. I'm like, explain.
Anyway, I'll draw you guys a picture. I'll draw a picture later. I'll
he
send
said,
it to you.
He said, this is an aphrodisiac drink, so you should call it Osti Spermonti.
Okay. I don't know.
Leave it up to the men, Lori.
Leave it up
to the men.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought it was funny myself.
This is a really tasty, easy, and fun cocktail for the holidays. And with the little pomegranate seeds, it's a really pretty presentation. I think that, even for folks dropping by over the holidays, this is such an easy thing, and you can have the you know, a bottle. And you could also mix this up. You could use Prosecco or anything that you have on hand. The Osti is a little sweet and could also be served, you know, as an after-dinner cocktail as well. So that is our cocktail that get you started. And then I have this is one of my favorite little appetizers, and this is by the way, this is in my book, Sexy Star Sign Cooking, and that's available, you know, we can talk about that at the end of the show. So all these recipes are in the book.
All right.
But the appetizer is a Parmesan pine nut shortbread with sun-dried tomato pesto with mascarpone cheese. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and pine nuts also go back to, you know, the Aztecs, Arabs, and, you know, into the medieval Europeans as being a well-known aphrodisiac. They're high in zinc, which is good for the male libido, but pine nuts have been considered, you know, an aphrodisiac in many cultures. Going back even with the Native Americans, they thought of them as a natural Viagra, not that the substance existed at the time, but the effect was similar.
A pine nut. I hate to interrupt you again, and I don't want to make you mad at me, but
going to be another sarcastic?
No, really. Do you guys remember? You guys remember? What was the guy's name? Yul Gibbons.
But I mean, that's really dating us, brilliant. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know,
glad. I'm so glad to have another.
Great, you remember Grape Nut? Okay, Grape Nut cereal. Remember Grape Nut cereal? There's a guy named Yul Gibbons who was the spokesperson for Grape Nut, and he used to talk about Grape Nuts and pine nuts. And I have no clue. What is a pine nut? Does anybody know?
Yes,
a pine. Main ingredient in pesto.
Yes, the main ingredient.
But where does it come from? Is there a nut off a pine tree or what?
Where does a pine nut? I'll tell you where a pine nut comes from, because they're also known as they are the seeds of pines.
Really?
And they come. I'll tell you. Hold on one second here. I should have had this information.
Well,
here.
No. Did you really think anybody was going to ask you?
Yeah, well, they're actually, well, I thought everyone kind of knows what pine nuts are, but they're the edible seed of pines, and there are about 20 different species of pine produce seeds large enough to be harvested.
The only person in the world who doesn't know what a pine nut is, and now I know.
You know, they're sprinkled on salads. They're one of the main ingredients in pesto, as I think Aaron said, right? Is that you, Aaron, back there? Or?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Well, you have to understand, just a few years ago, I thought pasta grew on trees, so give me a break. So the fact that I don't know what a pine nut is, I've seen a pine nut, but I just didn't know where it came from.
If it doesn't involve the grill, like, it's, like, foreign.
It's foreign to him. At least he knows you were ready.
Yes, really. So, anyway, I'm sorry I got off on a tangent there, but we're talking about pine nuts for some reason. What were you going to do with pine nuts?
Well, right, because they're one of the main ingredients in my Parmesan pine nut shortbread.
Okay.
So, basically, this is like a savory shortbread with ground pine nuts and Parmesan cheese, and you bake them off just like you do, you know, you make the dough and make them into logs and put them in the freezer till they get hard, because it's such a delicate dough that needs to be, because it's very high in fat, so you need to bake it at a lower temperature, so you cut them into pieces and then put them on, you know, a parchment-lined baking sheet and then in the oven. But I'll send you the recipe. But then you top it with the mascarpone sun-dried tomato pesto. And it's such a delicious, and I like to serve them warm. It's a really, really, and then pipe the mascarpone sun-dried tomato pesto on top. And it's such a great
pretty.
Little, yeah, it's a really great little appetizer. And because of the tomato, it's very festive, and you could, you know, garnish it with a little basil. And
and that's in your book?
Yeah. Yep, that's in the book, and it's a great little appetizer for the holidays or any time. But you know, because of the colors, it's particularly fun for
green
for
and
this
red.
Time
Love
of year. Yeah, and then I have one of my favorite salads. I think this is a great with Thanksgiving coming up. This is this also has pomegranate seeds, and I've already talked to you about that. But basically, this is a mixed baby green salad with caramelized pears, with a pomegranate vinaigrette, crumbled gorgonzola, and toasted pecans.
Oh.
And very easy to put together. I use seckle pears, which are going to be in season any day now, the little small seckles, and caramelize those. This is like one of my favorite salads, especially for the holidays. And brilliant, I'll send you a couple of these recipes over to post if you want later today.
Yep, I will.
And my last but not least recipe for Scorpios today is a honey lavender ice cream. And I know this time of year, most people, it's probably getting really cold over in your area.
No, and she laughed. You hear that laugh, Laurie? Because she's
yeah,
in Hawaii.
She's in Hawaii.
And, you know, and Aaron's down in Florida, and it's getting cold over there where you guys are. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I know it's going to be about 82 today, but anyway, I love the change of season. I love the change of season.
I love it.
Yeah.
I want to wear, like, you know, boots and coats, and I love
So anyway, your honey lavender ice cream. Go ahead.
Yes, honey lavender ice cream, and you know, vanilla is also a aphrodisiac. But just the fragrant scent and flavor that comes from the vanilla orchid, you know, is shrouded in several legends regarding its origin. And many legends claim it was originally a woman that transformed into the orchid with the overpowering vanilla fragrance.
Wow,
whether
that's
she
my
was like
vanilla. I have everything vanilla. I have vanilla candles. I wear like a vanilla perfume. I love it.
Me too. But vanilla body butter.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh,
Brilliant. Lavender perfume?
Well, I'm getting the lavender too, but it's unknown whether she was a mortal or a goddess. It depends on the legend, but in all the stories, the wafting aroma was said to be intoxicating. So, you know, vanilla is also known as an aphrodisiac, and then lavender, you know, an aromatic herb that has been used in, you know, culinary and medicinal purposes dating back to the ancient Greeks. Lavender is, you know, become known as lavender is also known for its aphrodisiac properties.
Everything seems like being aphrodisiac.
You know what? I guess, you know, that's true nowadays, because I guess it's, you know, all up to the person, you know, whatever turns you on, so to speak. So
there you go.
Anyway, this is just fun, you know. It's fun, but actually, these things do have aphrodisiac properties. Do your research, brilliant.
I'm being
sarcastic
as usual.
Read my book.
And it's called.
Read my book. There you go. Get the plug in.
Get the plug in there. We gotta make sure we get that plug in there. So, where can they find your book, by the way?
You can go to sabraritchie.com, and there's a link that will take you right to, well, to several different places, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and then there's several other. You can get it right from my publisher, too. There's a link there. So sabraritchie.com, or go to Amazon.
Don't forget to mention the name, Sexy Star Signs.
Yeah, Sexy Star Sign Cooking,
cooking
a cookbook
okay.
for lovers. And by the way, folks, this would make a really fun, for the person that has everything for Christmas, this is, it's just a little book.
True.
It's a fun book. It's something
it
that you could, yeah, good conversation for around the dinner table with adults.
Yes, it's actually a very good book, and I always kid, but we thank you for coming on the show, and check out Sexy Star Signs Cooking. You can find it at sabraritchie.com, and it's a great book, and one of these days I'm going to get around to cooking some of the things in the recipes in your book, and I'm going to post them on Facebook, and so thank you again for being on the show, and you're always welcome
My
if you
pleasure.
Want to come back, and we'll see, I guess
you're
we'll see you next month. Next month, what's the sign for next month?
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Well, next month, we're going to be talking about...
That's Brian. The czar. And Marusha.
Well, there you go.
And...
We have the czar man on next month when you come on. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in December.
My pleasure. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
All right,
you too.
Take care.
You too,
everybody,
Sarah.
Check out saberitchie.com. You can find
Hi,
all
Aaron.
This information. And we're going to... I guess, gosh, we're almost out of time. The show's almost over. I can't believe it.
Wow.
One thing I wanted to mention, Aaron, you were trying to ask a question during that. Yes, we do have vanilla candles everywhere. And it's actually, you know, it works great in my bathroom. I have a vanilla candle in there, which is a necessary evil. But, yes, Laurie likes vanilla. So is that what you were asking me?
I was actually totally making fun of that whole conversation. And I went the way of lavender, and I was like, really, do you have lavender candles everywhere?
Oh,
I just have lavender candles and lavender perfume.
No, we have vanilla. Isn't that vanilla, Laurie? I don't know. Is that the smell?
It is vanilla.
I have vanilla.
Remember the other day I put on vanilla hand cream, and you smell like chocolate. And I'm like, well, it's vanilla, but okay, I'll take that. You were like, oh, that smells good.
By the way, during one of our breaks, I actually went and checked, and I actually have two bottles of Pinot Grigio, a bottle of Oakleaf Shiraz, and a bottle of Oakleaf Moscato in there right now.
Well, good for you. And if people didn't know what we're talking about, go back to the very first part of the show and press the replay. You can find out that's Oakleaf, I guess, is an actual wine that they sell at Walmart. And we're almost out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us each and every week where we go crazy and talk about things like Osti Spermonti. I love that joke, by the way, Aaron. And we will be back next week, same place, same time. I'm going to close out the show with, Groovinators, and the song is actually an instrumental called Hip Shake. We'll see you guys next week.